Okay, today, excuse me, today is February the 23rd, 2023, and we're glad all of you are here and those online. We'll prepare ourselves this evening in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are always with us and You never leave us and You never forsake us. How comforting is that? And You are always for us. And we want to be the ones who are growing in grace and knowledge, because they're great rewards and decorations and privileges. But moreover, we want to please You. We love You, we thank You for Your word and all that You do for us. We pray that You will help us to draw from the Holy Spirit's power when we are weak, and that we will always have thanksgiving for all that You do for us, so much that we don't even know, but You're behind the scenes always working on our behalf. And tonight we go over a new subject matter for some. And it's so important to see the great things that You have done, how organized You were in eternity past, the things that You brought to bear, all are on our behalf. So we thank You for all of these things and pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate on the subject matter this evening, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you last time we came right down to the part where we're going to go over the seven imputations in God's plan for believers. When I went to Baraka Church, the first time I went was in around 1978, may have been 77. And I wasn't too thrilled to be there, but there was a woman that was going there that I really liked. So, as it turned out, everything was going so well, but I was into Calvinism then, and she wasn't. Of course, I'm talking about Carrie. And she told me one time, "I'm not going any more to your churches. I'm done with you. Bye." That was one Sunday morning. I didn't expect that. And so I said, "No, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to your church, but I'm going just to show that guy how wrong he is." Wow. So I go there. Yeah, good luck with that. So I go there, and at this time he was teaching these seven imputations, and they're called X, Y plus Z. It's a formula. And when you look at it and you haven't seen it before, you think, "Oh no, I never was good in math, and now I have advanced math. I'm so bad at math, I don't even know what the advanced math is." But anyway, when I went there on the board, it said this formula, X plus Y plus Z. And Carrie told me later, she said, "Oh no, why does he have to be teaching this now?" Little did she know I was eating it up. So anyway, little did I know then that, I don't know, 30-something years later, that I would be teaching it. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to go slow and deliberate. And if you have any questions, you start getting left out somewhere, just let me know. Okay, God's predetermined plan for believers consists of seven imputations, which can be demonstrated by an X plus Y plus Z formula. And it might look a little daunting when you first see it, but once you understand it, you'll marvel at the guy that put this together, and it wasn't me. It was Colonel R.B. Thiem, Jr. from Baraka Church. He was the pastor there for, 40 or 50 years? Long time. He's the one that came up with this. And so here I am all this time later teaching it. And you'll see why. Not only is it important for us to know these things, but also it is a great encouragement. And we have more gratitude because of it. So the X plus Y plus Z, you'll see that they're colored so that we can keep them straight. The X refers to the unbeliever. Everything that comes in the grain are things that happen for a person to be saved. And then we have the Y, which is the believer. So we have the unbeliever, the unbeliever gets saved, now we have the believer. I would say probably most people in their minds and most churches don't go anywhere beyond this. They don't know what to do when they're a believer. They know they're saved. They want to do what pleases the Lord. But unless they are getting taught by a prepared pastor, and not just the English, by the way, that's probably where they'll stay. I think that probably the great majority of people who believe the gospel and are saved, they don't know where to go next. And a lot of them will just try to keep the Ten Commandments. They'll start trying to go back into the Mosaic Law. Boy, have we ever heard about that in Romans chapter 8. We are dead to the law, and we're not under the law. But they're confused. They want to do something, and they don't know where to go. So when we get to Z, then that is for mature believers. I would think most churches don't make it really that big a distinction between believers and mature believers. But there's a huge difference. I'm going to say something. I wish that Keith Twiggs was here tonight. Because I'm going to make an illustration with him and Elizabeth, his wife. You'll never find a better couple than that. They were so wonderful. And he heard me. We went on a trip. I was with Pete, and Keith was there. And he heard me talking on the way home, and so he said, I think I'm going to go there and try his church out. Now, Keith went to First Baptist Church. Not only was he a deacon, but he was also an officer. He had been an officer in the church. He'd been there a long time, had all these friends. He started coming over here. He and Elizabeth both, they sit right there where Scott is sitting right now. And they started taking in the Word. And they couldn't have enough. They were in their 80s at this point in time. Now, how many people would leave a church that they had been in for decades? That's where their friends were. That's where they had authority and responsibilities and all. And at first, they would just come on weeknights. And then on Sundays, they'd keep going to First Baptist. And that went on for, I guess, about a year.
Excuse me.
And then one Sunday, there they were. I said, what are y'all doing here on Sunday? They said, this is where we're going to be for the rest of Sundays. And I said, but what I'm trying to explain here is they were believers in the blue. And they saw a potential where they could have much more that God wanted them to have. And they turned their back on everything that really wasn't all that important. Their friends and their position and everything. They came over here. And never looked back. He's right now, Elizabeth died, I think it was a year or two ago. And Keith is 99. And I told him, last time I saw him, I said, now you make sure you live to 100. Because we're planning on throwing a big bash for you and we want you to be around. So anyway, that's what I was thinking about when I think about the believers. How many of them are stuck as believers and they don't know what to do with themselves. The main reason is because they don't really know Bible doctrine that well because nobody's taught it to them. Okay, let's look at the word imputation. The word imputation is the English noun is derived from the Latin verb imputare, I-M-P-U-T-A-R-I, and it's meaning to reckon, to attribute, to ascribe, to charge to one's account. All those would be fitting. In my mind, I made it easier in my own mind to understand it. An imputation is God imputing something in you, accrediting something to you. Or to ascribe, all those are good definitions. Imputation is used in the Bible as an act of God whereby either condemnation or blessing is ascribed, attributed, reckoned, given, or imposed on the human race. So it can be a blessing or it can be condemnation. Credited to your account is one way I like to think about it as well. There's two categories of imputations. The first category is called a real imputation. A real imputation. The justice of God imputes under the principle of antecedent and affinity. I know these words are kind of $5 words. I'll explain it more in a moment. That which is imputed is in harmony, agreement, or affinity with the target of the imputation. So an antecedent means if you have something and something else is similar to it or is related to it, it would be an antecedent, or it has an affinity to it. It goes together. For instance, this would be an example of something that would not be a real imputation if I said God imputed eternal life to a tree. What? Well, of course, that wouldn't work because the tree has nothing to do with eternal life. It has to be a person, and it is imputed to a spirit they receive when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll see that as we go along, a real imputation is when something is imputed, ascribed to, accounted to, something that goes along with it. It'll be obvious when we go through it, but this is just preparing you for it. And so that's most of the imputations are real imputations, but there are two that are called judicial imputations. Judicial imputation. And that's an imputation where there is no affinity or harmony between what is imputed and the home or target of the imputation. So real imputation, there is an affinity there. But a judicial imputation is when God ascribes something to someone or something and it doesn't go. And I believe that He always does it in pairs. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we get into the formula. So you have two kinds of imputation. One of them is when God imputes something where it fits. And then a judicial imputation is an imputation where something is imputed and it's not an affinity or target that you would think. And the last part of this, in the plan of God, there are two judicial and five real imputations. That's where we get the seven imputations in the plan of God. Before we go further in the formula, I thought this would be important to remember. We have three strikes against us when we're born. The first is imputed sin. God imputed the condemnation of Adam's original sin to our genetically inherited old sin nature at the point of birth. Now, we're going to go over these terms, so don't throw in the towel already. I'm just, when we're talking, what is it talking about? Genetically inherited. What is that talking about? And imputed condemnation of Adam's original sin. What is that about? It's an imputation of sin that means we are spiritually dead the moment that we're born. And then there is, for the second part, oh, by the way, here's some verses for number one. Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12, and 1 Corinthians 15:22. So now we're with inherited sin. When Adam fell, he acquired an old sin nature, and we just put OS in for old sin nature. He didn't have one until he sinned, and when he sinned, he acquired one. And we inherit this old sin nature, which is has a strong tendency to sin from genetic perpetuation. What that means is the man passes along the old sin nature in intercourse to his wife. And we inherit that sin genetically. What does it look like? What does the old sin nature look like? I don't know. I would imagine every cell of our body has been tainted with the old sin nature, but I don't think you can see it. Sorry about that. Didn't know what I was going to do that. This is very sensitive mic. I better blow it down. So we all have an old sin nature, and we got it from Adam. It was passed along genetically after he and his wife Eve fell. When they started having children, it was passed along, and it still passes along. And the third one is personal sin. I can't change this now. I've got a typo here. When we commit sins from our own volition, we sin because we choose to sin. Whether we know it is a sin when we commit it makes no difference. So if you sin and you didn't know it was a sin, you still did it because you wanted to do it. And that, if you want to argue with God with that, you can if you want to, but I don't think it's going to do any good. It's like arguing with some person on the freeway that was speeding, and the police pulled him over and said, well, you know, you were going 20 miles over the speed limit. Oh, I didn't know that. Is he going to say, oh, well, since you didn't know it, well, just go ahead on. No. We produce probably mountains of personal sins because we choose to do it. It is our nature to sin. So the first strike is imputed sin that condemns us, inherited sin, which we will carry from the birth till the day that we die. And then we have personal sins, which is when we choose to sin. And that will help us understand when we get to the first radical, which is next, I think. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so we're going to start with the unbeliever. And this is the first part of the formula. The X over there to the far left is that X is for the unbeliever. So we'll go at this one bite at a time. So the first thing we see here is HL. HL stands for human life, as we see here at the bottom. And what I've just brought up here means when Adam's original sin is imputed to our old sin nature, when soul life is imputed to the biological life of a fetus, then it becomes human life, and so we're born physically alive. I show this in much more detail in a few minutes, but this is what I wanted you to see is God breathes into a fetus or a child, a baby, whatever you want to call it. They are born with biologically, they're alive. But a human being is more than just a biology. We have a soul. And I was taught this, and I could say a lot more about it, but I'll just say it at this point. When God breathes what's called Shema in the Hebrew, same thing he did to Adam. Adam had everything there going for him, but he had to breathe into him for him to become a living soul. And I think that happens to every baby that God imputes this human life to, and they were born physically alive. If you say, well, no, a lot of people say, no, that's not true. Well, to say that's not true is essentially saying that the father and mother passed on their, somehow, the baby's soul. And I don't know how that would work. Only God can impart the spiritual life of a soul. So we have human life, which is physically alive, plus AOS is Adam's original sin, and we are born spiritually dead. We have biological life. God breathes a soul into it. It is a human life, a human being. At the same point, he imputes Adam's original sin to us, which means we are spiritually dead. Where does this come from, by the way? How can anybody that knows even just a little bit about the Bible, they could understand this? What did God say to Adam in Genesis chapter 2? He said, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, for in that day when you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, Adam lived to be 900 and something years old. He didn't die physically, he died spiritually. And this is how it came about. When God imputed Adam's original sin to the old sin nature that Adam acquired after he fell, then he spiritually dead. Okay, so we're born physically alive, spiritually dead, which equals this P1 is the first potential. What was the potential when God imputed Adam's original sin to us? Here it is. The potential was to be saved by grace. You see, when Adam, before he sinned, excuse me, he had no need for grace because he was essentially sinless. He did have volition, and over time he did cross the Lord and disobey him. But this, remember this always. Condemnation precedes salvation. Always, 100% of the time. And so when Adam's original sin hit the old sin nature of Adam, then he was spiritually dead. That's when now grace can come onto the scene for him. Because before that, there was no need for it. And so that condemnation automatically set up a principle or a potential for God to use His grace in order to save Adam and the world as well. Are y'all with me so far? What? Okay. We're not going to have that for much longer. Okay. So it means to be saved by grace. Then we have to add something to that, which I have here. What's the BD stand for? Bible doctrine. So in order to get where we want to get, we have to learn something. Having the potential, you're born, you automatically have the potential of being saved by grace, because that's what God wants to do, is save you through His grace. But you have to have some kind of information. There has to be something that is proffered to you. In other words, you have to make a choice. And you can't make a choice until you understand or hear the gospel. And that's what this is really about. Here it is right here. The particular distinct Bible doctrines you need is the gospel. And you are, one thing about it, when anybody hears the gospel, they are going to either reject it or they're going to receive it. Every time. There is no neutral there. So when you have Bible doctrine taught to you in the form of the gospel, then that equals H1, and H1 means hope. Hope 1. I say hope 1 because there's going to be a hope 2 and a hope 3, and this is hope 1. And that means to be saved by grace. It's the same thing you see here. That's a potential. But now you have to receive the information you need to be saved. And when you hear the gospel, you have a hope. You say, this sounds so great. Could it be true? And when you get over here, you see this blue check mark? That blue check mark means you did it. That hope turned into a reality when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have faith alone in Christ alone, through grace alone, when that happens. And where we're going next has a blue color like that. So this is what the process that you go through in order to go through just being born and having these imputations. We have two imputations here. We have... Well, you can't see it on this, and I'll wait and tell you that in a moment. So we're done with the unbeliever. And when he believes, when a person believes, that blue check mark's there, he automatically goes to why. But let me show you some more here first. This is another way of showing it. This is the first part of the formula that we'll see that is put. It will go all across this page, and we're only dealing with the x-radical right now with regards to the imputations at physical birth. This is just another way of showing what I just gave you in that formula there. So the first imputation, by the way, all the imputations are in yellow. The real imputations are round, circle. Judicial imputations are going to be rectangles. So you can keep them apart. So we start out here. And God imputes soul life to our biological life. And when He does that, this HL down here is human life. Or you could say... What happens when a child... Nearly every child, at least to some degree... has biological life. Their heart's beating. All the systems are working and so forth. But what happens to a stillbirth? All of that is working. But a soul was not imputed. And they call it a stillborn. Because that soul was not imputed to that child. And so... But that's pretty much of a rarity. But it still shows that for a child to go through the process and he gets everything he needs from his parents biologically to have a biological life. But it's the soul life that is imputed at birth that gives him true life. If he doesn't have that soul life, he doesn't make it. And then next one is Adam's original sin to the old sin nature. You see how these are affinities? Both of these go where they belong. You understand that? That's why they are real imputations. And so what I showed earlier was human life plus Adam's original sin plus the gospel equals the potential one for what? To be saved by grace. Plus Bible doctrine here, which is the in this case, the gospel. And believing the gospel equals what? Salvation. This is just another way of what we saw prior to this. Now we go to the believer. Now we're in a different color. We're in the Y radical. And in the Y radical, now, what this Y radical is showing you is what happened when you believed. When you believed, you were saved. You're a child of God, so forth. But what the Y radical is showing you, how that came about. Okay? And what this check mark is going to mean. So, these are judicial imputations. And the first one is judicial imputation number one. Now, I didn't have time to put them down here, but I'm going to click on this in a minute. You'll see the next section of that formula is going to be this formula. And you're going to see that this first judicial imputation is our sins imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross. Is that a fit? Is there an affinity between Jesus Christ and sin? No. That's why it's a judicial imputation. So, God took our sins and put them somewhere that they didn't belong to Jesus Christ. Maybe I shouldn't say that doesn't belong, but it doesn't fit. Of course, Christ voluntarily took these sins upon Himself. But you have an imputation where our sins are going to be accredited to Jesus Christ, and they don't go. But in this case, of course, it was God's will that our sins be imputed to Jesus Christ, which they were. That's judicial imputation one. Plus judicial imputation, the second one, also a judicial imputation, was when God took His own righteousness and imputed it to us. Does that fit? Does God's righteousness fit with us? No, we're horrible sinners. So He took His own righteousness and imputed it to us. And now you see kind of how I think most of the time these judicial imputations go in pairs. It wouldn't have been right for God to take our sins and impute them to Jesus Christ where they didn't go, unless He was going to take His own righteousness imputed to us where it didn't go. And when you have both of them going in pairs, then they go together. It's not just one. The one is doing this and the other one offsets it. The best way I can say. And then we have potential two. Now, what is the potential here? The first one, when we're looking at the unbeliever, was salvation by grace. What is the potential with these two imputations? We're believers now. Yeah, you could say spiritual maturity, or you could say super grace blessings. And this is where so many people start losing it. That they don't know. So many Christians don't know about super grace, or we could say a spiritual sanctification. And in other words, it's the potential of us becoming mature believers. And when we become mature believers, everything changes again. It's wonderful. That's the potential, plus Bible doctrine. And going between this potential and this hope, there has to be a lot of Bible doctrine in there to get to the point where you are a spiritually mature person. And so the hope here then, hope two, is that you're going to receive super grace blessings in time, real time in this world. And then you see the check mark here. I should have made this red, but I made it green. And so you're going to see now what it looks like when we put it on this plane. See it? All this is doing in each one of these cases is giving this more in a graph in a graft way, like a graft, than a formula. Some people like the formula better, some like this one better. Here are the seven imputations in the plan of God. So now we're looking, we're through with this, we believe the gospel, and we receive salvation in the blue. Now we go from unbeliever, now we're a believer. Why radical? Imputations, that's spiritual birth. The first one was physical birth, imputations. Now we have spiritual birth. And you'll see here that I say, can you see it right here where my, I didn't want to do that. Two judicial imputations. The first one is our personal sins to Christ on the cross. So some people say, well, why did God impute Adam's original sin to us? Seems like that would be unfair. I mean, why would he do that? Well, the reason he did it is because when he imputed Adam's original sin to us when we were born, that gave way to all our personal sins being then imputed to Christ. We're not condemned for our personal sins because Christ put our personal sins on Christ. We were condemned for Adam's sin, and so that's what enabled him to put our sins on Christ at the cross. Now, you see, these are rectangles. They're not round. These are judicial imputations. And like I said before, that our sins didn't really go to Christ. They didn't fit, except in God's plan, they worked. Now, the other judicial imputation comes down to God's righteousness. Plus R refers to righteousness. Righteousness is so long, you can't get them in the boxes. So, we receive God's righteousness is imputed down here to us. What did we do to merit that? Nothing. The only reason that all of this was set in place, because there was a point in time we understood the gospel and we believed the gospel and we put our faith alone in Christ alone and our eternal destiny in our mind is secure because the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. He paid the price on the cross. And then we have another one here, which is eternal life. Eternal life, see, it's fitting that it goes to the human spirit. That's why it's round. It's a real imputation. It goes to our human spirit. By the way, 1 second before you believe the gospel, do you have a human spirit? Some will argue, yes, it's just dormant. I don't believe it was dormant. I don't believe we get a human spirit until we believe in Jesus Christ, and then we acquire a human spirit. See, if you have a human spirit, you can understand spiritual phenomena. And you can have a relationship with God. You cannot if you don't have a human spirit. In other words, all these unbelievers, when you were over here in this green, before you became a believer, you had a body and you had a soul, but you had no human spirit. You acquired that human spirit when you believed in the gospel. So the eternal life is imputed to our human spirit. So now what we have is plus R, which is God's righteousness, plus eternal life. Now, once we get here, we've got His righteousness, we have eternal life, we're a believer, and we have a human spirit, but we can't go any further than that unless we put plus Bible doctrine. Because we're not through yet. Even when we get down to the bottom here, there's still another whole category. So we still need to grow in grace and knowledge. And that is the second potential, is what we have at the bottom. Can you see this? It's kind of small. Okay, come on, thank you. There you go. God's righteousness plus eternal life plus the doctrines we're going to learn over the years equal a potential. And this is only a potential for those who get this, the doctrine right here. That turns into SG, stands for super grace blessings in time. Everybody gets logistical grace blessings. That's giving you everything you need in a physical realm in order to fulfill God's plan. But this is super grace. It's mature believers who get super grace blessings in time. I didn't have a room to put all the verses in here. I couldn't even put spiritual grace. I mean, super grace. I thought I could put SG, but that's what it stands for. Okay, y'all ready to move on? Now the believer has all of that. There's so many believers that get to this point where they have... Well, most believers don't even know that they have God's righteousness, that it was imputed to them. And a lot of them have eternal life and they're afraid maybe they could lose it. But there's still the potential to get enough doctrine to understand these things, to learn that they took place. And the next place you will be going is God giving you blessings, super and abundant great blessings above what normal believers receive. They're put in escrow right now. You see this in Ephesians. God took an eternity past, and this super grace bounty that He wants to give it to you is in escrow. He's holding it for us. And once we get to this potential, that potential becomes a reality because of the doctrine that we've learned. Now we're mature believers, and all of these super grace blessings He just showers on us, because now we won't just take all the wonderful things and forget about God. No, we're mature enough to still have a strong relationship with Him and appreciate and enjoy all the blessings He's given to us. Now we go to the mature believer. This is the third one. This is Z. So the Z refers to those who have received mature, super grace blessings, mature believers. So the first one is eternal life. How much did the eternal life cost? No. It's a gift. In fact, everything that God gives us is a gift. It's not a way in a million zillion years that we could ever come up with something great enough that where God was going to give us eternal life for it. He gives it to us free. Plus, BT stands for blessings in time. Now, you're now at this point, when you get into this radical, you are already a mature believer and you're receiving super grace blessings. So what is the potential here? You became a believer. Now you reach spiritual maturity, you're receiving super grace blessings. What's left? Anybody have an idea? Right. We're talking about now the potential is surpassing grace blessings in eternity. How about that? I always think how wonderful super grace blessings are in time, but they can't even come close to be compared to the surpassing grace blessings in eternity. Why do we give the term surpassing grace blessings? Because nothing after when you're in heaven, you have surpassing grace blessings. That's the ultimate. There's nothing higher or better than that. But look what we have here. You can have eternal life, you can have blessings in time, super grace blessings, have this potential that you can have surpassing grace blessings. This is a whole ball game right here. If you get sidetracked and you're not consistently taking in the Word, then this hope will always be just a hope if you don't have doctrine. In fact, you probably wouldn't even have hope to have it anyway if you didn't have doctrine. And so this hope is if I continue and I'm obeying God, I'm hanging on His promises and so forth, the hope is that I will have surpassing grace blessings in eternity. That means you have it. Now we're going to look at the other view here. This is the whole thing. This is the whole chart now. And so we look at Z. This was imputations at physical birth, imputations at spiritual birth, now imputations in eternity. I should put imputation. It's not plural, it's just one. Because we've already gone through six of them. And so when you have super grace blessings in time, see, this is what you have, but you got enough doctrine, you're mature, God gives you these super grace blessings, and so you already have those here, and you're continuing to be a mature believer, continue to taking in the Word and so forth. And so the formula is here, is blessings in time plus Bible doctrine equals the third potential. Here's the third potential, super are surpassing grace blessings in eternity. You can't get better than that. There's nothing. It's so wonderful. I can't put it into words because I don't think there's any words that can describe it. That should be our motivation. That should be our goal. Most people, once they get to this point, they understand that. They get into Y radical. Most of them don't understand this. They don't know why our personal sins went here. God gave us righteousness. We have eternally got everything that we need in order to have super grace blessings in time. But it depends on the doctrine we get. And then, boom, you go over here. And you come down and you have a Bible doctrine again. That's why you have to endure to the end, having your relationship strong with God and being able to understand the whole realm of doctrine. And you wind up with surpassing grace, blessings in eternity. You know what this says right here? The good of Romans 8:28. You remember that? You look like you're kind of doubting. Not knowing that all things work together for good. The good. This is the good. And when you get here, surpassing grace blessings for all eternity. Is that big? Knowing that, remember this? Knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The good. And there's a note right there from Romans 8:28. We could also say it's in Romans 8:31 as well, and 30. Okay, I've got just a little bit more time. I think I only have one more slide. Ah, there it is. All right, you ready for the test? Okay, we got the X radical at the top. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 imputations. What is the first imputation? What'd you say? Soul life. Soul life is imputed to biological life, and that makes human life. But see at the top, the 7 imputation in God's plan. All right? Soul life. What's this next one? Adam's original sin. We get down into the Y radical. We know it's that it's not a real, it's a judicial imputation. What's the first one? Are you looking at your paper? I don't want you to read it. You need to have it up here. What is it? These plus R is here. So, and it, you could. I just said that reason I put personal sins to Christ is because our sins have to be imputed to Him first, and then we get the imputed righteousness. That's why I say that's the second one. And we get God's imputed righteousness to the believers. What's the first one in Z? Y'all are looking. Eternal life. Got to have eternal life. I mean, we'd have nothing if we weren't in eternal life. What's this next one here? Super grace and time. Super grace blessings. And for sure, you ought to know this one. Surpassing grace in eternity. Look at that. This surpassing grace is so wonderful, I can't even get it in the circle. I didn't think about that till just then. So those are the imputations. Now, what you should be able to do, by the way, this whole thing right here is on the website. It's under visuals. I'll show it to you in a moment. That looks pretty daunting now, but when you study it, and it all comes together, and when you start thinking, okay, God always has something else for us that's better than what we already have. But the only way we can get it is to live by the law of life in Christ Jesus. And not try to do anything to impress Him. We cannot. But we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to obey Him and to trust Him. So we move over to the Y radical, where you are a believer then. It shows you how you got to be a believer, and then the potential. The main thing every time is you're looking for the potential. What's the next thing with regards to potential? Well, probably for the great hordes of people out there that are saved, their potential would be super grace, blessings, and time. And I don't know have any idea what percentage people, believers, get this. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. We don't have to know how many percent of people. We have to remember one person. That's ourselves. And you know, I've had people ask me, well, how do you know if you are in the category where you are receiving super grace blessings? Isn't that a good question? Let me put it to you this way. If you're there, you'll know it. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with how many times we fail or how many times we sin. That's not the barometer. That's not the gauge that you measure it by. The gauge is how strong is your relationship with the Lord? How much do you depend upon Him? How much do you love His Word? How much do you think about Him and thank Him and ask Him and throughout the day, when you are tested, that you have been trained and know the Scriptures, that this is a test, and you cast your burden on the Lord and He's going to take it for you. When those things are going on in your life, you don't go around and tell, hey, guess what? I reached spiritual maturity 3:00 yesterday afternoon. And now I'm going to start getting the... Now I'm going to start getting these super grace blessings. That's not how it works. But I'm so proud that we got this and we got 5 minutes left. I didn't think we would be able to do it. But, oh, I need to show you where it is. I think I have a... Let me...
Would you mind if
what, this one?
Yeah.
Huh? No?
It doesn't have anything good for you.
This one?
No, the last one, that's okay, because I just wanted to write it off.
This is the last one.
Oh, okay.
This is green for the unbeliever. The blue is for the believer. And the red is for mature believers. And he gets the imputation in eternity. But you won't get these... Surpassing blessings in eternity unless you have already been receiving super grace blessings. Because super grace blessings are given to mature believers, and you'll never get all this over here in the red if you're not a mature believer. But if you're a mature believer and you're getting super grace blessings, then you're in line. The potential here changes to what you're desiring now is surpassing grace blessings. You're already getting the super grace blessings. Okay? Okay, I need to do this now. I'm going to cut this off. And I'm going to go to the website. No, I think I already have it. Let's see. How do I get out of here? In show. Okay. Now, I'm going to go here. No, I'm just going to shut this down. And now I'm going to go to... Oh, here's another one. We'll get into this next time. It's the same thing. I need to stretch this out some. And I can do that. Oh, I remember how to do it. Okay, I did this one earlier when I was doing this years ago. This is the first one I had. And it's a little bit different. It's got essentially the same things, but it's presented a little bit different. For instance, here's our personal sins and God's righteousness imputed to the believer. This little pipe here with GP on the G and P on the other side, you know what that is? The grace pipe, pipeline. And I got a whole new deal. I just threw that in there. And down here, I actually put, this is human life. This is spiritual death. Human life plus spiritual death means what? The grace, now you qualify for the grace of God for you to be saved. You have to have the gospel. And same thing over here. See, down here it says potential one is salvation plus faith in Jesus Christ. This is the potential of salvation. When you have faith in Christ, then you're a new believer. I'm just presenting it a little different. And I have little numbers next to this. Like this is 5. Is the super grace blessings in time? I don't know why it wants to keep doing that. So you have another imputation up here. Anyway, that's just another way to see it. And I have this one as well. This is the way it shows up on the website. And we can go all through this. Let me just get down to... Okay, here it is. It's very similar to what we just saw. And I'll show you where that is, okay? Hold on just a second. I'll show you on the website where to get it. I hope. Okay, I'm going to go to here. And to here. I'm just getting up to going to our website. Once you get on our website... There it is. You go to visuals. See this right here? Visuals. You click visuals and you scroll all the way down. There's a lot of them here. And you click on the last one. It's X plus Y plus Z imputations. There it is right there. Scroll down. And these are things that have to do with... the old sin nature and how it's passed along. I didn't want to include that right now. But here is essentially, there it is. But see, I had this, I changed all this by putting in those circles and the rectangles blank so you could, I just did it a little bit different. But that's where that one is, right there, that you can just go to on a website anytime. It's right here. And the other one that I showed you, was right up here. It's 7 imputations of the plan of God. There it is right there. Okay? All right. Well, we're really out of time now. So I'll just close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for in eternity past, this plan was already made and it was already perfect. We're so thankful that and honored that you included this plan and the imputations that are in them for us to not only see them, but apply them and have them to be a great motivating force for us to go from the blue to the red, and so that we can have those surpassing grace blessings for all eternity. You are glorified when we reach not only the super grace blessings, but even more so for those who reach the surpassing grace blessings in eternity. It's a potential for every believer. But we have volition, and the ones that are motivated to know you more and to please you and to love you more, all of that, you will take us into the eternal realm with surpassing grace blessings. What a phenomenal God you are. And we give you all the credit, because you surely deserve it. Help us to inculcate these things in our mind so well that we can articulate them to other people so they will know as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.